first lesson is Acts 16, verse 22, page 112 in the Church Bible. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading can be found on page 180 on the Bibles next to you in your pews. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
"Ouch," said Paul.
"Ouch,"
said Barnabas. "Oh, my back hurts," said Paul. "Oh, my ankles are aching terribly," said Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were in the city of Philippi. They'd gone there, a city where no one had ever heard about Jesus, and they'd gone because they wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. And when they did that, some people loved what Paul and Barnabas said. And they said, "Yes, I want to follow that Lord Jesus that you've talked about." Other people said, "Stop talking like that, get out of our town." And they beat them up, and they even got them put in prison. And so it was that Paul and Barnabas were there in prison. Their backs hurting because they'd been beaten up and thrashed. Their ankles aching because they'd got iron things round their ankles to keep them in place. They were in a prison cell in the middle of the night. It was cold, it was dark, it was damp, and they couldn't sleep. So they were talking. "Actually, we've had a brilliant few days here, haven't we?" said Paul. "Yes," said Barnabas, "it's fantastic. All those people who listened, took to heart what we said, and chose to follow Jesus. It's been brilliant." "Yeah," and they got really excited as they talked about it, and they prayed and they thanked God for everything that had been good, and they started singing hymns of thanks and praise to God. And as they were sitting there in the middle of the night, the place seemed to start shaking. "What's going on?" "Feels a bit like an earthquake to me." And it sang a bit more, it shook a bit more. "That's definitely an earthquake." And as it shook more and more, The door frames fell away so that the doors could swing open. The chains became unattached so that their legs were free. Nothing would stop them getting out of prison. The jailer came rushing in. "Please, please, please, don't escape. Please don't run away. I'll be in dead trouble." "All right," said Paul. "We're still here. We're not going anywhere." "What is it about you two?" said the jailer. "Here you are, sitting in this miserable place, and I hear you praying to your God. I hear you singing. When you get a chance to escape, you don't go. What's going on with you two? What is it with you two?" "It's all about Jesus," said Paul. "Well, tell me some more," said the jailer. "I want something of what you got." "Well, it's all about Jesus," said Paul. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And so he and Barnabas sat down with the jailer, and other members of the jailer's family came and listened to, and they told them all about Jesus, about his wonderful life, all the things that he taught people about God's love, the amazing miracles and healings that he'd done. They told them about how Jesus had died on the cross to save us. They told them how God had wonderfully raised Jesus back to life again. And the jailer, as he listened, he was gobsmacked. "Wow," he said, "you know, I'm really, really sorry about what's happened to you. Let me go and get a bowl of water, and then I can mop up all those wounds where people beat you up." So off he went, got some water, cleaned up their wounds. They felt much better. And Paul said to him, "So all those things we told you about Jesus, what do you think?" He said, "I think it's wonderful. I love absolutely everything that you told me about Jesus. I definitely want to be a follower of him. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to put my faith and trust in him." "Well," said Paul, "in that case, that bowl of water that you brought, we can use that again." And then he baptized. He baptized the jailer, and he baptized the other members of his family who had chosen to follow Jesus. "Thank you," said the jailer. "Now, come back to my house." He was just next door. "Come back to my house." And he gave Paul and Barnabas a wonderful meal, and they celebrated, and the jailer was just so, so happy. Or rather, a better word, I think, joyful. And Paul and Barnabas, too, I'm sure they were joyful that yet another person had heard their message and put their faith in Jesus. Now, some years later, Paul, who long since left the city of Philippi and he'd gone to other towns and cities to tell people about Jesus, many years later, he wrote a letter to those Christians back in Philippi. And we heard a little bit of it in our reading, our second reading. And where was Paul when he wrote that letter? He was in prison again. This time, he was in Rome. And you might think that being locked up, he'd be fed up, and that he'd write a miserable letter moaning about it all. But no, what did we hear in our reading? He wrote to them, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I say it again, rejoice. And this whole letter that he wrote, this letter to the people in Philippi, people often call it a letter of joy. So let me say three quick things about this joy. And the first of them is, well, what exactly was it that was giving Paul joy, even when he was locked up in prison? Well, he certainly wasn't saying that nothing ever goes wrong, that life of God will run for a Christian. No, bad stuff happens, and Paul probably had more than his fair share of bad stuff happening to him. Life has lots of ups and downs. All of us go through good times and bad times. What Paul was saying was, however much life goes up and down, however good or however bad it is, there's one thing that's constant, one thing that stays steady, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us. Nothing can change what he's done for us. Nothing can stop him loving us with that love that meant he was ready to die for us. Nothing can stop him being with us. nothing can take away from us the prospect that one day we'll be with him in the glory of heaven. So all sorts of other things go up and down, but Jesus is a constant, never a source of sadness, always a source of joy. So when Paul talks about rejoicing, it's rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in Jesus. Second thing I want to say is just a bit more about what does this word joy mean? Now, some of you may know that in the past, Nick and Alice have both played quite a lot of hockey. And I want you to imagine Nick out there on the hockey pitch, he gets the ball on the right wing, he sprints down the wing, dribbles round three defenders, cuts into the middle, takes a shot and scores a brilliant goal. And all his teammates rush up, pats him on the back. Nick, that was a brilliant, brilliant goal. Nick is so happy. Stays with him for the rest of the day. Next morning he wakes up. Wow, remember that goal I scored yesterday. Asked him the week's time, particularly after he had another hockey match when he didn't play very well at all, and that happiness was probably being forgotten. Or think of Alice, well, she was a hockey goalkeeper. And think of Alice making a brilliant save, and all her teammates rush up for a high five. Alice, well done, fantastic save. And again, she's so happy that she played that brilliant part. But a week later, it's probably forgotten. That's the sort of happiness that stays a while. But think too of what happened to Alice and Nick, I think probably after they'd stopped playing hockey. They had first Max was born, and then Rosie was born. Were they happy? They certainly were. Was it that sort of happiness that went away after a week or two? Absolutely not. This sort of happiness that they experienced in the birth of Max and Rosie with the word, again, the right time to use the word joy. Something that's deep down and never going away sort of joy. And that's the sort of joy that Paul was writing about here. The sort of joy that he had in Jesus. And indeed, back in Philippi in the first place, our reading ended by telling us that that jailer was full of joy because he'd come to believe in the Lord. So, joy in Jesus, who never changes. Joy which is deep down and never ending. But then, one of the things, so what happens when life's a bit grim, when we're going through one of those bad patches? Again, coming from our second reading, that letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Whatever's happening, Paul was saying, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's absolutely terrible, pray about it. Tell God about it. Tell him what's making you anxious. Tell him what you've been through and what's giving you a pain. Tell him the people who've been difficult and you're finding it hard to forgive. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, he said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we unburden ourselves in prayer, we have that experience of that gift of God's peace. And the more I think about these two words, joy and peace, the more I think that they're almost the same. They're both about something that's deep, deep down and long-lasting, a real gift from God. So as we pray for Rosie today, we pray for her that she, as she grows up, may truly find real joy in her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that she may know God's gift of joy and peace in all that she does.